Hey guys, welcome to a new podcast. We're here in Australia, specifically Rouse Hill at the headquarters of Stash. Very exciting. We have a ton of videos coming out, but I did want to do a podcast and chat with the guys. So, welcome guys. What's going on?
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Hey, Larry.
Thanks for being here.
Welcome to Australia,
yes.
Man.
Of course. This place is absolutely ridiculous. You know, right off the bat, most people don't realize that we've now launched ammo in Australia, which is kind of a big deal. As I've told you before, you know, we've had like 800 requests and we haven't done anything because we haven't found the right partners until you guys.
You sure it's us?
We are very fortunate, mate.
Yeah, no, I think I appreciate it. And this place is amazing. And of course, we have a beautiful background, just a little old car right here. Nice Corolla. It looks fantastic. But yeah, so as we do on the podcast, I usually ask a couple of questions. I want to hear some backstories. It doesn't all have to be about cars, how you got into to business, the ups and downs and failures and all that kind of stuff. So right off the bat, and again, this is just a conversation. You can take it anywhere, any place you want. But obviously, how did Stash, we'll start there. How did Stash come to be? Obviously, there's more things above here, but this place,
yep.
I think you said 250,000 square feet, which is what, I don't know what that is in meters.
250,000 square feet, the main building,
yeah.
Which is 23,000 square meters.
Right.
Yeah,
so. And you keep 150 cars?
250 at the moment.
Right.
And then, as we sort of showed you, we're putting hoist in to go to about 400 car capacity here in Stash.
Hoist equals car lift, by
stack
the way.
Us.
Yeah, stack us.
Stack us.
Yeah.
Stack us.
Stackers. and then you have, each one of them is covered, which I don't know. I know I keep going back to that, but any car place I've ever gone into, it's always been like a flex to have them not covered.
It's weird. We're paid for discretion and storage, right. So it's sort of counterintuitive to hide someone's car away from the public and then flex on it and show it. So it's sort of,
and it's not our stuff too.
Like we're
just the custodians to kind of make sure that they're kept as happy as they can be.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our customers are super happy that we are that way as well. Right. Like I can't just like, this is one thing, but like it's got, you gotta have something in the background.
Right, yeah.
yeah.
As you say that, the irony of that. We don't show anything off just like open doors and have
this craziness. Is up for sale.
it's
going in the bargain bin.
Yeah.
But it's just something that we wanted to stick with was just kind of the name. The name doesn't give a lot away. The building doesn't give a lot away. We'll kind of need to be a little bit more exposed with the product side of things. And now that the detailing has kind of taken a bit more of a stronghold, but initially we're just like, let's just be quiet. And car community is compact. Like people are out there ready to be, you know, heard. And news travels quite like really fast.
Apparently, pretty quickly.
Word of mouth in the car community. If you've been in this place, do you see an event? Do you see what they're doing? Like that's how you grow. And
our ad
very
spends,
organic in that way.
Ad spends is nothing.
No.
And then I saw when I saw you guys name Stash, the first thing I did with Jordan, I was like, oh, that's a brilliant name. But on the way here, Scott was saying that he was calling it like Karuma or something.
Yeah.
Like in the early days, it was sort of throwing some ideas around and. Karuma, Japanese word for car room. But I'm very literal in the way I think. And then when I sort of brought Josh on board with the concept of this business, and he's like, we've each got our things.
That's a hard
like,
no.
Okay. you come up with the name then, mate. Yeah. And so, Joshy was given creative freedom and like.
There's no ego between us around business as well. It's like our ideas are kind of just as valuable as each other's. So. Neither one of us chop you down on that, but like it's not a like how dare you, like we're not married to our ideas. It's kind of just a let's
it was a good choice riff. By the way, I think Stash is spot on. You know, the proverbial example is Apple and computers. It has nothing to do with each other, but ammo. I think it would have been weird to have been like Rouse Hill car storage or
which something. Is what my Dad would have probably called it.
Yeah.
Very old school, very literal.
Right.
You know, we are in the Rouse Hill Business Park.
Right.
But so, you know, there's a time and a place for that.
Right.
But then Stash Group is our name, the technical name. And so it allows us huge opportunity in the future. Like we did not really think that sort of 4 or 5 years ago when we were fleshing out the business that we would be selling an automotive product.
Right.
But under our brand and the concept of the business is we were able to explore these ideas. And you know, a partnership with Ammo was just a huge opportunity.
Now, when you first started it, did you think you were bringing car detailing and Brody and all that stuff in? Was that part of the business plan?
It was there was always going to be a partnership, but we didn't know if it was in Stash or with a separate business.
Meaning, so, like when people came in,
subleasing.
Right. Like, hey, you know, a dude comes in, you got to wash the car because it's got to go out or whatever. You didn't think you were going to bring it in house.
No.
And so now you've definitely like, you brought it in house.
Yeah. So Brady was working under another banner previously, and that was great. He was sort of subleasing the space from us, and we worked really well together. But then as Stash was developing and the opportunities were coming, we're like, oh, mate, this just makes sense to bring it all under one umbrella, and then let's grow it quicker, you know, when you combine the both sides of the business. They go so well hand in hand.
Everyone
that's using our storage business has pretty much had their car worked on by Brody. So it just was very logical to bring those.
Yeah.
Those
and that was a separate business of yours?
Yes, yes. So I've been detailing for 7 years now, and so mobile, and then I've been here as long as these guys have, set up from the beginning. So I've grown with them, and then yeah, kind of coming under the Stash brand was the right move.
Right.
Yeah, same for detailing, where storage turns into detailing turns into storage. A lot of my clients that I've built up have ended up storing cars here.
Yeah, so. Most people have, when you got the bug, you got multiple cars.
Yeah.
And nine times out of ten, like there's no place to park half of them. And New York City is like the prime example of that. A lot of wealthy dudes there, of course, into cars. You can't even park one car in New York City. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's like a $2,500 parking space just to have like the convenience of going into Westchester, like getting up north or whatever. Mm. Imagine having five in New York City.
No.
So there's a couple of places that do that. And that's how I first got started.
Where
when I'm looking behind here, obviously the cameras can't see, but we'll throw some B-roll over there. You can see the matte walls. And when I first started, it was called Collector's Car Garage. Kind of feel that name. I think they changed it since, but we had the same thing where we had ammo on a black wall and it was in a car. So I just felt like the feng shui and like the just indefinable, like I was like, this feels right. Because as they know, everybody listening, it's very hard to get products, ammo products specifically, not in the US because the shipping is just a complete nightmare. Since COVID, everything went to like crazy. I mean, everybody went crazy in COVID, obviously. Mm. But in terms of the shipping, we have never come even close to coming back to normal rates.
No.
This was a great way to get back into the Australian market, and we're pretty stoked. We have a ginormous party coming this afternoon. You guys, we'll shoot B-roll, all the behind the scenes, all of that stuff. But we have like the outside. How many? Like 1,000 cars if you like stack them in here?
Probably.
Like, we could fit 1,000 cars out there.
Yeah.
So we've got insane.
There's about 500 signed up, and we've got about 50 to the VIP workshop before.
Right.
And then, you know, just word of mouth and public that'll show up. We
get a huge amount of
people. Yeah. So today we're shooting a podcast on the day that's like the most hectic, crazy day. Like, let's shoot a podcast. Why not throw
it? We're only here for 10 days. We're going to make the most of it.
Yeah,
we
exactly. Before the storm, though. Super exciting. So what's your backstory? So you were doing it for 7 or 8 years, detailing on your own, coming here, taking care of the car. How long has this been here?
Two and a half years,
yeah.
So how are you? So you were just detailing for 7 years in general, but when they started, you came in.
Yeah, well, I actually, so after school, I went to uni to study mechanical engineering.
Right.
I always wanted to be around cars, design cars. Kind of didn't work out. I didn't do the subject to prepare me for that. So it was a little bit hard. I was kind of immature. And then I went and did my mechanical apprenticeship, so got qualified as a mechanic. There was just no money in it. I wasn't really seeing the things that I wanted to see. I was servicing basic cars and doing all that. So I got good at what I was doing there. And then detailing, I was always into detailing my own cars and that was a weekend hobby. And then I kind of got involved in doing mobile detailing. So did that for a good amount of time. And that was just, hard slog, just doing as many as I could in a day, the big jobs, the small jobs, but built a good reputation and a good client base based on that. And then, got on board with these guys here. And 2.5 years later, now involved with them directly. And now kind of you as a mentor and learning to detail from your YouTube channel. We've landed here, so it's kind of
and so there's no relation between you and me other than we're looking at you.
No, there has to be. No.
Every single person's been like, do you guys relate? Like, yes.
We call him Aussie Larry.
Was it?
Aussie Larry.
Aussie Larry, yes. We're 10,960 miles away.
It's a long way.
Really?
Yeah, it's a long way. I was like, my son was doing like a, how far are you going kind of thing. And I was like, I don't know, like really far away. Yeah. And did the math. 10,000
That's really
miles.
Far away.
And what's really creepy is like when you fly across the United States, it's like something goes wrong, you're like, all right, like hope you just like kind of land, hopefully if you don't like blow up or whatever. When you're, I didn't realize when you, he's like, okay, we're leaving LAX, and if you've ever been to LAX, I mean, it's right on the water, so it's like, so you're 2 seconds up, and you're like, oh. Like, you're in the middle of nowhere, like.
That's foreign for you, but not for us.
No, you guys go over all the time?
Have to,
You got no choice, unless, so like, if you don't want to leave,
you 15, 16 hours for you?
Same.
To LA?
To LA, right? But I mean, it's against the, headwind the whole time. You know, I was watching the screen. I couldn't sleep the whole time. Yep. 15 hours after a 6 hour flight.
Well to stay up yesterday, mate. Very impressed. You did well to stay up.
I did stay up. I started crashing. You came over and took a photograph because there's a camera. There's something behind. I don't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
But you took a picture, like smile. And I was like,
you were glossy.
You were really glossy. Weird, like, I can't do this anymore. I was spazzing out. I'm staying in your. In your pool house, which is amazing, and we are like, I mean, you guys, this is probably normal, obviously, for you.
No, it's not.
that's not normal for you?
I live in a one-bedroom apartment. This bloke lives on how many hectares?
Seven.
Oh, yeah.
What,
the farm.
1,500?
700 acres. Yeah, 700? It used to be 1,500.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. Only 700 acres.
My apartment's 50 square meters. So.
Okay, well.
But I live where we were yesterday.
Yeah,
I have to come out here. I get the benefits of that, and then you get the benefits of that out here. It's kind of.
I've never woken up, looked out, and seen like horses going crazy, and then where he gives us a tour of the place, and I called my wife, and I was like, hey, in the morning I got to get up and do my routine and run and you know do some sort of exercise. And he's like, yeah, mate, just like run on the thing, and I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, if you go down that path, you're gonna have to bring the dog, and I was like, cool. I was like, wait, why I gotta bring your dog? And he's like, well, if you know, if something goes wrong, like the dog will be able to fend it off and you can run away. And I was like, ha 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 ha. And then I looked over at him and he was like, no, mate, that's for, I was like, oh, all right, I'm not gonna go down there. And then I'm like, all right, I'll just run around all these beautiful rocks, these formations and stuff. I'll go up and take a selfie. And he's like, no, mate, don't. He's like, if you go over there, there's gonna be snakes. And then I asked the dumb question, I'm like, what kind of snakes? And he's like, this snake, that snake. And I was like, actually, I don't know anything you're saying. I was like, what's the, he's like, they're gonna bite you and they can kill you. And I was like, maybe I'll just go for a walk right down the middle of the road.
On the road.
Yeah, pat the cows, mate.
Yeah. And so then I walk up to this horse and I'm like, I'm doing this moment. I'm like, this is the greatest moment in my life. And like the whole thing, right? And I have a little DJI camera and I'm zooming in and out and the horse is looking at me like, what is this guy? And I think he may have assumed I was one of the caretakers or something. I don't know. Mm. And they started galloping and the ground is shaking in this moment and the stars and the moon. And I'm like, I need to move here, right? Yeah. And then the DJI goes like, beep, beep, beep. It makes a sound and the horse spooks.
Oh, yeah.
And goes down, like lowers itself and then pushes off to the side to basically get out of there quickly. And so when it pushed, like dirt flew up, I fall backwards. It's all on camera. I fall backwards. I'm like, ah! And the horse starts sprinting and I'm like, I gotta go home. Man,
it's so theatrical.
It was the highest like moment of like up and down.
It'd been a long day.
Yeah. That was all on the first day.
More exciting than a hotel room. Let's put it that way.
Oh, it was great. It was really great. So
that's a good way to see the country.
This is a good place to be, a great country.
From the beach to the bush.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When we first landed, we went to the beach and had some fun there, which I think is a smart thing. After you get off a 23-hour flight, it was 21, but 2-hour layover.
Yep.
Kind of a crazy day. But yeah, I'm super stoked that we're doing this relationship. I know we won't have a ton of time because we have like 500 people showing up in a little bit, but I wanted to shoot podcast just kind of give people a feel of where we are, the folks that I'm working with, meaning you guys, and then what we're trying to do. So in terms of the behind the scenes, we've shot a bunch of episodes on the studio channel as well of them picking and packing and kind of doing the what we're doing in the United States but doing it here, and I show that process, so make sure you check that out as well. But I think we have a couple more minutes. I know we're running out of camera space here, but so we talked about you starting the company. What's above us, though? That's the one thing.
So, yeah, so in this facility, we have another business that's a furniture retail business here in Australia, like, called Oz Design Furniture.
Yep, thank you. Except
for the wheel. Except, the tires isn't all out. But yeah, sort of, we're building this building to service that business, and then this basement floor down here that we've turned into stash was kind of vacant, and we weren't sure exactly what to do with it. We're a car family as well. We sort of have a collection of vehicles that we sort of ran out of space in where we stored them out on the farm. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of said, we can't be the only people with this issue in Sydney. There's got to be other collectors that don't know where to put these things. Hence Stash was born. That was about 8 years ago. As the concept grew in my head and the level of opportunity and depth that business required, I was like, okay, I can't do this myself. Josh and I, old mates, 20 odd years, part of the same friendship group. He was the first guy that popped in my head and said, Josh, you want to come run this, you know, business and be partners and let's play with cars, mate. Mm. And he's got a really interesting background. I'm the sort of the business analytical side of it, and Josh is a creative front of house side. We balance it out each other really well. And then, yeah, we sort of spent a few years coming up with the concept, fleshing it all out. And then we got handover of the site sort of 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Had to put the epoxy on the floor, you know, fit out everything, the office, the detailing studios with Brody.
Power
electrical for the trickle charges, yeah, everything. And then, yeah, here we are, 240 odd cars later, an ammo partnership, you know. It's
exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's huge.
It's kind of, it's
and
not,
so
not
what did you do before this?
So I've got a design background, left school, went and did a design degree, didn't do much with it. I was would have preferred to be at the pub than be in class, but yeah. Now in hindsight, that was a massive waste and I would love to do that again now. Yeah. But then I went into retail and then I went into film and television as a stylist, did a bit of fashion stuff, did a bit of...
What does that mean? Like somebody so like, in front of the camera or behind the camera?
No, behind the camera. I hate being in
he
front
loves
of the camera.
The camera.
I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, as you shift in your...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, this is awesome.
No. It's so I ended up in network television land, taking care of talent and making sure that everyone's happy and well-dressed.
What does that mean? Like they get on camera and you're like...
No, they before they go on camera, while they're on camera, after they're on camera.
Like their clothing specifically?
Yeah, pure clothing.
Okay.
That it's just something I fell into. Always had a passion for cars as a kid. Mum and dad drove Hondas and Toyotas and just said, never buy anything not Japanese. You buy one car, you drive it into the ground. But I was in the backseat of the car going, I like Porsches. It's like... It came from nowhere. I don't know where it's come from, but for some reason the Carrera just like
spoke to
was
you.
My thing. Like I had a 964 turbo like alarm clock and it revved up and I just, like I had posters and stuff and my parents are like not car people. They're very practical, very hardworking, intelligent people. And they're like, cars is not it. And it wasn't. Back then, cars was not it. Like you do not drop money on cars. These days a little bit differently.
Mm.
And so I'd finished up a film as a in costume. And then Scotty pulled me on to do this and then was like, what do you reckon? I was like, fine, love it, let's do it. And I think it was the fork in the road was like opportunity to grab something by the reins and like own it start to finish.
Right.
And I think that's where like a lot of new companies fall over is that there's 10 cooks in the kitchen. And Scotty just threw the keys at me and said, just do with it what you want. Make it what, like, I trust you, you do it, stayed out of the way. Which is a dream opportunity. No one ever does that. No one ever says, you make it look good and stays out of it.
The truth is, when he emailed like all those years ago, and I was like, no, I'm not kind of blah, blah, blah. When I looked at the website and saw your designs and the way that the look and the feel and my word, you know, the je ne sais quoi, this undefinable characteristic, it really harkened back to, especially the what's that thing over there from Facebook?
What do you see? The tapestry?
No.
Vending machine.
The vending machine.
Oh, yeah.
The vending machine, I was like, oh my gosh, because that's when we first did creative all those years ago with the group in New York City. That was the concept of, I saw that, and I saw the website, I saw the way that the photographs are done, and I was like, wow, the design team is spot on. I was like, oh, we should have a conversation with you. That's the truth of how this all led to, and then when I started talking to Scott, oh, like, he actually understands business.
Well, that's it, and the thing is, so... I can get the crayons and the glue out and make things look nice.
Yeah.
Backing it up and executing it is something that Scotty's like, if Scott gets his head onto something, it's getting done. Like there's no time wasted. It's getting done this afternoon, which is one of Scotty's best attributes is just like the ability to start and finish something. A lot of people have these ideas.
And no,
then they're all like this and you can't like grab them. They're just ideas.
Yeah.
But until it's in dirt, it's nothing. So that's kind of why it works really well. We stay out of each other's way with certain things. And they always say, don't mix like family and business. Scotty's worked in a family business for
how long?
Yeah. And I consider Scott family and a lot of my friends family, like you shouldn't do it, but we're in this far and we have not had a single tiff. We listen to each other.
Yet.
Yeah. Anything's possible. We'll talk tonight. How about tonight?
Yeah. We've got 10 straight days with everyone. Yeah.
That's what Jordan said on the way here. He's like, ah, man, 10 straight days with you and, you know, one-on-one. I'm going to need a little
break. You'll be right.
We'll I love how we're doing this right now before, like, the walls.
This was your idea.
Yeah, no, I was like, why don't we just add some more pain?
Let's banner.
Do it. Yeah.
But it's, like, I've got to say, like, working with Scott's been unbelievable. Like, I've had really cool employees in my past. I've never worked for people that I don't like working with, so it's really nice to kind of continue that journey. But in something that is quite high risk, it's like the stakes are, there's a lot of money going around this place and we needed to make it work, but there was not one moment where it kind of cracked. We're like, oh, this is all a waste. Like, what are we doing here? We're going to fold it in. And when it feels like that, Scotty just doubles down and we turn it up to 11 and off we go.
And then with all that, then you just like dump all of ammo on top.
Yeah, that's it. But like, I think my fashion and design experience has kind of led to this point as well, to look at the automotive industry as something more than just wrenching and polishing. Like, there's more to it. Like, these cars are art. Like, and we should celebrate them as such.
Yeah, we were talking about that off camera. There's so much more than just like cleaning the car. There's more than storing the car. Like, these are pieces of people's identity and what they, you know, how they feel about
themselves.
You know, a clean car, you feel better. If you feel better, you have more possibilities. It's kind of like the ammo underlying thing. If you want to like wash a car, just grab the soap off your sink and wash it. Go nuts.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the right way to do it, but the people who appreciate those things appreciate those things. So the fact that the vending machine was there, I don't know why. I was like, oh my gosh, that's symbolically, that was like a huge thing, because 15 years ago, that's what we talked about. It's like, that would be so cool if we could do something, and you guys actually executed it and put the screen in there.
Put a little mini computer in there.
Yeah.
Lighten the fourth man of Stash.
He's behind the camera right now. I'm waving. Go later, the
He'll be the one pickpacking all the ammo.
Yes, we need him.
Yes, in the B-roll, in the thing I shot behind the scenes. Yeah. Layton's in that.
He had a fresh haircut too. He looks good.
We're going to throw B-roll. Right? He's not even on camera. He's right now. This is great.
But yeah, I think like these cars don't make sense. Like the relationship between the human and the car makes no sense. I haven't had one person who says, we like cars because X. There's no answer for why we're so emotionally engaged with these things. Is it an industrial revolution thing where we've kind of evolved into this kind of adoration for metal and wheels and progress, and is that like a primal thing? But
look at this thing. What is like practical and useful about this thing?
Why can we not stop looking at it? Why do we look at the back of a car and go, oh, like there's no answer? So roll with it and make it look good, make it feel good, make people feel special around it.
That's all. I mean, at this point, like, we have everything. I'm reading this book, Archaeological Automobile, and it really talks about how cars haven't gotten the credit that they deserve. It's a wonderful book. I haven't finished it yet, but they haven't gotten the credit that they deserve for all the cultural things that have been brought with the car, meaning at the time of this Model T and so forth that I'm in love with, like what was going on that it represents that time. But the thing that he hammered home, and I was like, oh, that totally makes sense, is if you look at like a chalice or something, and King whatever drank out of this thing, and you go to a museum and you look at it, and you're like, oh, that's amazing.
That's cool.
You read the story, and you're like, oh, that's so cool. And you move on to the next one, right? And you're like, here's a painting of whatever. Cars are the same kind of thing, but we get to literally use them all the time, even the old one there and the old one there and the Model T. So you're telling a story, but that story hasn't ended. It's not like this is the guy who did the thing and he blah 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 blah, and now it's behind glass and we did that, and now it got in the 40s it was with this family, in the 50s with this family, and now in 2000 whatever it is, you know, 24, it's now with the Casilla family, and I get to share it with my
custodianship.
I just thought it was fascinating because I never thought of it as an archaeological type thing where it tells a story in its time.
And especially as the world shifts more technological and EV focused, these things are dinosaurs.
But they still work.
I agree.
they still work, which is crazy. This is old tech.
They will last longer.
Dude, the Model T, we started in like, I don't know, what was it, like 10 minutes or something we started that thing? This old guy stuck his finger in like a plug, pulled it out, and we're like, bleh. And he's like, what? He looks over, he's like, yeah, I think we're good. And I'm like, what? And he put it in there, put some fuel or oil, whatever, and the thing started out. I mean, we need to do a tune-up, et cetera. But like the fact that ran was completely insane. So
Simple things.
Yeah, the simple things I think are huge.
Yeah.
All right, guys, since we are launching Ammo Australia, let's talk a little bit about the Ammo launch itself, which we're doing in a little bit, and the products. What's your what made it go for you in terms of ammo? The smell, the how it goes on, etc.
Yeah, so ammo is definitely heavily based on like beautiful smells.
Like cosmetic-y is what we were kind of like, you know, I was telling you before off camera, my wife's hair smelled a certain way for foam. So I wanted, the experience was just as important as it actually functioning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very relatable to you got cars and then to taking care of yourself, which, yeah, you kind of pick up, all right, do I need to wash? Do I need to condition? You kind of look at it the same way. But yeah, the smell of blush especially, it just makes you enjoy the process of applying a wax to the car. It's a bit like, I guess, cars, like Japanese cars have a smell, and it's something that you want to keep owning Japanese cars because
Porsche has the same thing. You get into an old Porsche, you know, when you open the door and it has that same kind of like oh yeah. You know that as smells on a random top, smells, if you make them too good, you can actually have an inverse relationship to liability, where it's so good that people will think about licking them and eating them. Isn't that wild that that's something that you actually have to consider?
Well,
I got to knock it down a little bit.
I want to burn your blush with like a candle and see what happens.
We're actually thinking of doing that. That's something I didn't know. I was like, is that off-brand? Is that too weird to have a candle? Like a bunch of guys in there washing their car with the candles everywhere. Wife comes out like, what the heck is going on here?
We got incense and candles going on in there. And exactly. It's 2024. Yeah. Get on board.
Yeah, but can you imagine like my insurance guys, like you have to make it so that it's not so close to something candy-like.
And
I was like, I have never, that's just not a part of my brain that like function. Like, oh yeah, we can't make it too good because people will lick it.
It's like,
what? So anyways,
well, I think it's hydrate. You come out of the office all the time.
Yeah, hydrate.
I start sniffing the rags after he's done with it too. It's pretty twisted.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's a whole
other
thing that we didn't Well, speaking of that, on that note, that Patrick's is coming here. My boy, this buddy Patrick's. Is it just Patrick's? Not Patrick's.
It's Patrick's.
Patrick's.
Patrick from Patrick's.
Yeah, Patrick's from Patrick's is coming here, and he has a whole Carolina, and that's how we sort of became friends or whatever, based on I saw that based on the way his stuff smells and what have you.
It's delicious. But
I do think there is something to be said about the car being clean and then your body being clean, and then, you know, this like future mission. Yeah, let's talk about the future a little bit of you know, potentially having like floor care and like I mean, I clean my toilets just as much as I do the car and the sink, and like in real life. Like I think
that's how the best things are born as well. Like, we started this as an umbrella company. It'd be like, it could be anything.
Right.
It could be boats, wine, to brokerage, to anything.
Are you guys talking about selling cars here?
Yeah, like selling... we're, it's a work in progress.
Is that a thing you're
like, we want to focus our attention on like really getting this right, and then maybe, but it's got to be with the right people.
Yeah,
it has to be with the right people.
People.
That's true.
And we're fortunate to work with some really
cool people. Everything on lockdown. That's the one thing I've really noticed. Like, he's got the design on lockdown. You got the, you know, the P&L and all the finances.
Yep.
He's definitely got the detailing. Yep. You got the boss over there in terms of the IT and everything.
Yep.
Like, this place is...
But it's people. It's funny. And Scott's always been really good at harvesting, like, people long-term, and it's been like, you. It's like, and it's not you've got that degree or you, you know, you've studied for that, or it's like, you're the right personality to do that work.
Yeah.
We were talking about that in the car ride.
Yeah,
back.
Was
like
it?
The,
you can
his
train.
Staff has been here for like, each guy's been here for like 20 years or something like that.
That's crazy.
You can train skills, you can't train personality. That's just the biggest difference.
And work ethic and all that sort of stuff. But brokerages are kind of, again, an obvious transition, well, not transition, an obvious arm to grow. Lots of stuff happens in-house. So like, people walk past and they go, I like that. Go, well, do you want to talk to them? And everyone's got their price and everyone's happy to talk. And
we've moved heaps of cars between customers.
Just as like pure, just
helping because
them out.
We can, and because it's
they stay
part of the community.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't have any room elsewhere.
Sells it and it goes out. Yeah. You're like, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
It just never leaves the parking spot.
Yeah. But obviously, like, if people do need to move cars, we'll assist them and put them in touch with the right people. And because what's good for them is good for us, and the world keeps spinning.
Even when we were driving in here, that guy with the, what was that, that red car? I forget what it was.
MX-5.
The MX-5. Yeah.
You were like, oh, I sold that one. And I was like, oh, cool. And you're like, no, really, that was our car. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
actually rolled out 20 minutes full.
You saw it? Oh, yesterday.
On Windsor Road. Yeah.
The old dude driving it or something. Yeah.
He was happy as Larry. That was through sort of one of our partners, Sports Classic. So they brokered that deal for us. And, you know, it's where we know the right people to talk to move different cars, which is also very unique.
And to do like good enough reputation for us to refer them and know that they're not going to burn that person and then us look like the fools for referring them as well. It's all
That's probably just as important, because if we recommend it, it's sort of, it's got the ammo and stash tick of approval. It's like, well, no, they're gonna be able to live up to it.
Yeah, that was a big deal when doing the whole detailing thing. That was part of it, not just like the products and the people and making sure that we can actually physically get the product out. I wanted to make sure that my son here.
Exactly.
Was able to keep that high standard, because we get a lot of requests. It's a thing that I'm getting now, and I think that I'm going to get a ton more with all the stuff launching. Like, hey, dude, like, what the hell, man? Like, you get, it's like, do you understand? It took 2 years to kind of, and so we get a lot of requests, which is so amazing. And I don't mean anything other than humble. Like, it's great, but there's a certain level that we need to make sure that we maintain and hit when we're doing this. And I think that's what was not the hang up, but why I've been so like, I'm nervous to let go. I mean,
dude,
you understand,
it's your
my
child,
baby. I don't want to. So I'm just trying to emphasize the point to be able to comfortably release. Mm. I'm saying release mentally here, ammo. Cause I'm not like, hey, I'll just stop over. No. It's 2 days to get here. You know what I mean? So it's not like I can just zip over and make sure everything, like I've been so just pleased with how everything looks and how it's presented. And if anything, it's actually brought more to the ammo brand than has weighted down.
Thank you. We're the only people that can have your ammo logo.
You are literally the only people
anywhere in the world.
That's correct.
So that's a huge amount of responsibility.
It's a big deal. So it's like today has been more, exciting and wonderful, and I'm in a new country and it's amazing, all that, but it's also slightly emotional and like, oh my gosh, 12 or 13 years to have the first whatever. So it's more than I could ever translate into
progress.
We obviously had to trial the product and test the product, make sure we were happy with the product, make sure we liked the product so that we were happy to sell the product. The thing for me is that the product is developed by you. You know what you want. You know what cars want. And the range allows me personally here as a detailer to offer what they actually need and not what they think that they want, which most products are heavily based on one sort of thing and the consumer thinks that that's what they want. But
we could get into, and this is when I start going like, we can get into like a 3-hour podcast, but I'll do I can't help myself. If you know more as you start to learn the behind the scenes of how the retail market works, it's kind of frightening. Hence the reason why I started, the actual why of the company all those years ago was I started learning more about how the products were being made and how they were being sold in terms of the marketing and the manufacturing of it. And it was so fascinating. I tell this story. I've never told this story to you guys, but I've done it in past podcasts. But when I started manufacturing for another company, when I was even younger than he is, and making it, and I was doing the mobile detailing stuff on the side, which was my main gig, and then I was making product for another company. Now, the backstory goes, I was helping them make more compounds and more polishes and more lubrication here and more, to remove the lubrication. I need more emulsion. I was trying to make it so they would actually work on a car. I know you're like, well, what are you getting at? There's chemists that just make stuff, but they don't actually use it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do you know if this is, I think this is the greatest formula. Like, have you ever polished a car? They're like, no. I'm like, well, how the hell do you know that this makes any sense? So fast forward, I was making these products. And during that time when I was working for somebody else, the example I'm trying to give to you right now is to make car soap. It's sort of, and I use the very loose analogy, like, I would imagine drugs are being made, right? Where you make like a concentrated version, then cut it up and then kind of weaken it, right? And so they can spread it out I said that in a bad way because I'm not a drug dealer, but you get my point, like, right?
They
cut it up and they make it so it's less. I did a pretty good job, right? I'm not. You know, right? So what we would do, and we were making soap in these huge vats, like almost like a jacuzzi size thing, probably a little bit bigger than a jacuzzi. And when we put the ingredients in to make soap, one of the ingredients that I didn't realize towards the end, as you're mixing this, there's a big, it's a vat, there's a big paddle in there, and it's like a bathtub full of stuff that looks like soap and smells like soap, but it's kind of, the viscosity is very low. Or actually, in this case, viscosity is very high, and I'll say why it gets low, meaning it's very watery. We would take six bags, 90 pounds each. I would take a razor blade, lean over the edge, and cut in NaCl. Do you know what NaCl is?
Na chlorine?
No.
Salt.
Oh, salt.
I've listened to enough.
Oh, you listen to enough. Yeah,
ATA.
Cheater. Yeah, exactly. So he would pour. I would pour all the salt in, and basically, when I pour the salt in, the viscosity became very thick. It was much higher. Like, kind of became molasses. Why? Because then we could cut it and put water in it, and then spread more of it out. And I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. And then I was like, wait a second. I went to the CEO of the company I was working for. I was like, aren't we putting salt in the, like, what the, that doesn't make any sense. We're washing salt off our car, but we're putting salt on the product to wash the salt. And he's like, listen to me, just do the thing, blah, 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 blah. And that's what spurred on the why, where I was like, I became so angry that I saw behind the scenes of what was being made and nobody seemed to care because they just wanted to make more. And I get, and I appreciate it, and I understand it. And the guy that was doing it, that I was working for, just wasn't a car guy. It's just, I'm selling a widget. It just happens to be in the shape of car soap.
Yep.
I don't care. And that was the push behind all that. So the reason I'm saying all these things and the why was so strong that I felt like people like Brody and myself and detailers, we got like the throw the key syndrome. Like, you know, just go clean my car, get the car out of here. Like you're lower than. And so this emotion and drive, passion, and I can't think of the passion, and it's so much more than that. Yeah. To release all of this atom bomb inside of me to another company and fly literally on the other side of the planet to do it. Is a bigger deal.
I think you picked Australia as a huge viewer base for your brand, but being so geographically far away from where you guys ship from in America makes complete sense. And we have a huge car community, as you've seen driving around the last 2 days. Aussies love cars, there's no doubt about it. Because we're so big, we have to use them to travel around. So it's ingrained in our society is cars. And every Aussie likes to look after their cars, no doubt about it, whether it's four drive, sports car, race car, whatever. Everyone, washing your car on Saturday morning is a bit of a ritual. So we feel that there's a huge opportunity for ammo product in Australia because we're yearning for some amazing product and that's ammo. So, and it's the barrier to buy it from you previously.
We used to sell a ton. We sold a ton to Australia. This was like pre-COVID. And people would pay, it was a high price. Now it's comical. It's like four times as much as the price. I'm like, guys, don't buy it.
That's insane. It doesn't make sense. It
doesn't make any sense. So it, now this is logical. So anyways, we're super stoked to be here.
Yeah.
I think I would love to be more expressive, but I'm exhausted. But I just wanted to make sure people understood that, one, I'm very grateful to be here. And of course the relationship, and we're excited about all this stuff. The fact that we are filming this right now and there's like hundreds of people or whatever, you know, in the driveway. It's kind of exciting as well, you know, that kind of thing. So as always, guys, I wanted to shoot a quick podcast, introduce you to the crew. If you're in Australia, obviously stop by, email, et cetera, and store your car here, pick up some products or order it online. But I just felt that I wanted to have a quick conversation via podcast so that I think the people will understand why I did this here with you specifically, if that makes sense, as opposed to just like, we're opening up distribution. It'd be so easy to open up distribution with ammo.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, seriously, like as quick as that.
Yeah.
Just, no, I just couldn't, I just feel that, you know, I can't do that. And so to be able to do this with you guys is,
it's not lost on us. Horse, but it's not lost on us at all. Like, we're incredibly grateful for it and we want to do it justice. And I think we understand the importance of small business and what that means to you over the I can't imagine handing over something after that many years.
I think you embrace the same why. I think I'm trying to articulate why it made sense to me. I'm like, I feel like you guys have the same why, the reason, the passion for doing this kind of thing. And so
have fun along the way.
I appreciate you guys being here. Actually, let me reverse
you
that.
Being
here. Usually I'm in my studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for being here. Yeah. I see how I went into my normal. Isn't that funny? Thank you. All right, guys. Anyways, I'm grateful for being here. You guys live here and enjoy yourself. Cars are actually starting to roll in right now, which is exciting. Yeah. We'll post this up pretty soon, but if you're in the area, obviously stop by and reach out to Stash. But the website is still ammonyc.com for US and ammonyc.au for Australia. So check it out. So, guys, thanks for watching. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.